This is a CNA podcast.
Now, Made in SG with Melanie Olivero.
Well, this is indeed Made in SG, where we celebrate all things people and services created right here in Singapore. I'm Melanie Olivero for CNA 938. Let's give you some famous names in music first. Beethoven, Stevie Wonder, and Def Leppard. Classical composer Ludwig van Beethoven was deaf. Singing legend of soul and pop Stevie Wonder is blind. And Rick Allen, the drummer from rock band Def Leppard, plays the drums using one arm. He lost the other arm in a car accident almost four decades ago, and he's still going strong. By the way, I saw Def Leppard live in concert in Ireland some weeks back, and let me tell you, these rock legends blew me away. They played almost every track from their album Hysteria. So I really hope they come to Singapore soon and blow you away too. Joe Elliott and company, and of course, Rick Allen. So these people I've just named are proof positive that disabilities are in no way barriers when making and performing the arts. Which brings me to ArtDIS, a non-profit organization in Singapore dedicated to creating, learning and livelihood opportunities for persons with disabilities or PWDs in the arts right here in Singapore. ArtDIS also organizes art programs, collaborations, exhibitions and performances so that these people, these PWDs, are definitely part of the arts scene in Singapore. So ArtDIS has a lot on their plate because in the three decades since they've been formed, they have supported thousands of students in various performances, classes and exhibitions, and of course, generating income for them too. So let's get to know ArtDIS better with Peter Sau, Head of Artistic Development from the Performing Arts Department at ArtDIS. Hey Peter, ArtDIS used to be known as Very Special Arts Singapore, so why the name change and how did the team come up with ArtDIS?
Hi, first and foremost, everyone, good afternoon and hello Mel, thanks for having me. Yes, as the new brand name, ArtDIS, it actually reflects our strong commitment to take leadership in the arts and disability sector. It also carries our continued belief that all the arts is a transformative and expressive medium to enable, empower, and engage persons with disabilities. The name was also a result of extensive consultation with stakeholders in the disabled community who expressed their hopes for disability to be normalized in our society. So such terms such as special needs are now seen as segregating the community further instead of embracing them. Therefore, at this, we believe in really the artistry and that everyone through art can become an artist.
Yes, indeed. And there is a colon separating ART and DIS. That colon means something as well. Isn't that right, Peter?
Yes, it's a very interesting way to connect what could be art and what could be disability. So we always believe that this colon stands for the dialogue and the interlink in between, that art can be informed by the disability, and the disability is actually not a barrier to realizing someone's artistry.
Yes, and it looks very meaningful when we see it in print. So I do agree that it's a better change when you compare it to its previous name, which was also very important, Very Special Arts Singapore. How does ArtDIS normally reach out to talent, or do they or their parents actively seek you out, actively approach you?
So we have built a strong network of support within the disability ecosystem, from social service agencies to special needs schools. Many trainers or teachers often will refer their students to us, especially when these students demonstrate strong interest in the arts, and we can further then build the artistic potential of these individuals and provide them the training they require to reach their personal goals. Beyond this, we are also very active in community events such as the Purple Parade by Central CDC, Shaping Hearts by Northeast CDC, and the Enabling Festival by SG Enable. So our presence there enables us to reach more within the community and offer our services to all PWDs who wish to explore their interest in the arts or seeking to professionalize in the arts.
Okay, so you've got a good outreach initiative and you collaborate with others as well, and that is how your good name is spread. Can you tell us more about the popular classes offered by ArtDiss nowadays? Your website has so many of them.
It's still a very difficult question because we are often very oversubscribed. You know, just for our visual arts programs, the fine arts has been offered in the last 30 years of our existence. And most recently, our digital arts and ceramics programs have been most popular. Spaces are always very limited and many need to be put on waiting list. We are trying to find more and more teachers to fulfill our needs. There's a growing need and we are not stopping our work just because there's lack of teachers. We are actually educating more and more people to join us in this this search for artistry and also benchmarking. Then for performing arts, we have so much. We have cajon, ukulele, electronic drums, creative dance, hip-hop dance, even one-on-one lessons such as dance movement therapy, violin, drumming, and piano. Of course, the most popular will be the dance programs because it engages those who are neurodivergent, who are largely non-speaking, and engage them very actively. And then, of course, the one-on-one lessons like piano, drumming, and violin are very popular because on a very supervised and monitored and quiet, focused way, it helps to condition our students' focus and respect for the art forms.
Yes, indeed. You're right, Peter. You need a critical mass of teachers and staff who are trained the right way to collaborate with these young upcoming artists. Mm. The search is always ongoing.
Indeed.
Yeah.
We are planning to actually expand our teaching faculty. Truth be told, Mel, many disability arts centers, the day activity centers, the daycare centers, and also the special needs schools, even the homes, residential homes for those who are disabled, they are constantly reaching out to us to offer programs just so that out of an 8 hours work day, if it's a vocational packing of or folding of towels or packing of, our SIA, our earphones, they have this 1 hour of artistic engagement, that kind of equal access to the arts and that kind of enjoyment just in one day, which most often than not, after graduating from special needs schools, has been sort of taken away and also not made so financially viable. It's made possible through our subsidized programs, also supported by the government grants. So we are really stretching our limits from our 3 centers and reaching out to almost at this moment 15 centers externally. Yeah.
You certainly have a lot on your plate, and I truly salute what you and ArtDiss do. But what if prospective students and performers who want to be with you, would-be performers, they want to be performers and they have this fear, Peter, that they don't have the talent, but they just want to be with you and the team anyway?
Well, we believe here from ArtDiss, talent can always be nurtured. And this is why we offer trial classes to many first-time students. And persons with disabilities, they typically face many barriers in their everyday lives, financial, also conditionally or even medically. So we always say yes instead of no first. We try to make our learning and training in the arts as barrier-free as possible. There are also those who are only wanting to enjoy and to creatively engage without this stress point of professionalizing. And therefore, we always pack our training level to the personal level of their aspiration. And so it starts from foundation to artists in training to emerging artists, then finally the epitome for those who are willing to professionalizing as an artist.
Yes, indeed. So it's very organized there and you will be able to advise them accordingly. You mentioned the 3 centers, Peter. there. So there's Art Dis Changi, Art Dis at Bukit Merah, and Art Dis at Bedok. So there's two in the east, one in the west. How different are these spaces, though?
Simply put, our center at Changi is at Changi City Point. It is in a shopping mall and it's very accessible to those who are actually going about their everyday business or even on the weekends. It is fully dedicated to learning performing arts. Our center at Bedok is fully dedicated to the visual arts with a lot of painting studios and also ceramic studios. And then our newer center at Bukit Merah, it combines both the visual and the performing arts, fully equipped with a black box and a recording studio, as well as a sensory calm room. This newer center is now a community space to connect different groups of people and community members to facilitate exchange in advancing disability inclusion.
I was just wondering, Peter, is the new center at Bukit Merah near the enabling village at Lengkok Bahru?
You are almost right.
Almost.
We are so near. And I can see that there is some now recent development, some kind of a linkway is happening between to actually ease the walking distance. It will be a cutting across a shortcut from Enabling Village to the main road, which is just where we are actually located. So yes, we are very near each other. And we are also situated within this very magnificent social service building by MSF. So we are also near our neighbors sharing the same block. We have senior citizens from Yong En. We have also people from Children's Special Mel. We have also psychiatrist team. So we are really in a good place where we are a focal point and we can take the lead to actually connect different communities and building awareness of our PWDs.
That is, I love it. There is an ecosystem, a very nurturing ecosystem going on there. And we also want to, I'll ask you about Ko Pao Kun later. I think you would have loved this, definitely, oh. Peter, right? But first I wanted to ask you, Art Dis offers various pathway levels, for example, for emerging artists or professional artists. But what sort of certification do they get at the end of each level or at the end of their time there?
Yes, learning with us seldom follow a typical linear route, as our progression of our student is pegged to each of them and each of their ability to grasp the required skills, knowledge, and the behaviors necessary in order to go higher level. So for example, many of our visual artists have been with us since they were children in our foundation level classes. And after years, it could be 3, it could be 10 years, non-pressurizing and self actually identifying, they are now rising up to be at our artist in training level. Then those who are ready to take the next leap in their training are then offered a top-up certificate in visual arts, taught and conferred by the Nanyang Academy of Fine Arts, NAFA. And through the course of 5 months, our students sharpen their conceptualizing skills as well as time and project management skills. You know, recently in June this year, they staged their annual exhibition at Objectives in the Bugis area to over 1,000 individuals. So even before they turn professional, their artworks are already seen and being perceived as very, very strong in the public's eye. At the performing arts side, we just graduated our first cohort of the Beyond Display mentees last year in November, and each of them staged a solo or a collaborative performance and was witnessed by the community. There was a trio that even had the opportunity to perform Pao Kun's very important play, Day I Met the Prince, at Gateway Theatre during our Arts and Disability Forum, and demonstrating their training to almost 400 thought leaders, art workers, sped school teachers, and even social service professionals.
Outstanding stuff, Peter. We got to go to the news soon, but I need to ask you, your mentor was the late theatre legend Ko Pao Kun. I had met him in the late 90s for a little while, but what a presence he has. Quiet, but what a presence. what would he have thought of this inclusive approach of ArtDes?
Wow, Mel, I think we are connected through a legend. You're absolutely right. His quietude, his calmness, and he's just such an intense thinker, makes me constantly question what I'm doing. And therefore, after almost 20 years of being a director and actor and also drama educator in the mainstream, I crossed over to the arts and disability sector because what he taught me was that art stems from life, that art should mirror life and make us see more about life and to magnify those things left unseen, unheard, unknown. Then this is when art becomes bigger than life. So as a pioneer graduate from his drama school, Intercultural Theatre Institute, I met so many different international students with so many different languages, yet we share one common vision of how arts can transcend boundaries and connect the human hearts. So through the work that I'm doing now in a pan-disability approach, we are sharing so many common languages, the language of the deaf and hard of hearing, the tactile language of the visually impaired, the non-speaking paradigms of the autistic and those who are with Down syndrome. So together, now I feel stronger connected to Pao Kun by using arts as the equalizer, and through the respect and the artistry for art, we find a common ground to share the same roots and learn what it means to be human.
Thank you for sharing that story about Pao Kun. I really appreciate it, Peter. Peter Sau is the head of artistic development, performing arts at ArtDes, an NPO right here in Singapore, dedicated to creating learning and livelihood opportunities for persons with disabilities in the arts. This is Made in SG on CNE 938. I'm Melanie Oliveira. Let's carry on my Made in SG chat celebrating the local non-profit organisation dedicated to creating learning and livelihood opportunities for persons with disabilities or PWDs in the arts. They're called ArtDes, and back with me is Peter Sau, ArtDes's Head of Artistic Development in the Performing Arts Department. Peter, I've spoken to various people with disabilities from here and abroad. Some want to be called blind, not visually impaired. Some also want to be called deaf and not hearing impaired, and vice versa, of course. So how do we best and respectfully address them? Do we check with them first?
Yes, you know, Mel, I mean, how do we describe ourselves first? Like, do I describe myself as a Singaporean Chinese man? Will I be more comfortable describing my ethnicity or my nationality first? I think it all goes back to the person and the fact that there are many, many people who actually constitutes part of the disability community in Singapore. So I would say language is always evolving in this scene, and we should make all the mistakes so we can learn together. I started from there. For example, I used to use the word handicapped. And when I was in the UK working on several projects, it was the disabled who told me, no, 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 we are not reaching our hands into our caps to beg for money. So the handicap has become a very, very outdated term to describe beggars. You know, back then, the World War II veterans who really, after their pension fund is being used up and English being created by UK now, many of the words are actually very obsolete. And we are still adopting this term, not because intentionally, it's because we do not really know that it is evolving. So, you know, and also words like deaf. Deaf actually comes in, let's say, a big D deaf and a small d deaf. It can be spelled either with a capital D if you are a sign language user, because they are a cultural and linguistic identity, just like C, capital C for Chinese, capital M for Malay, F for French, J for Japanese. So it is a very respectful way to ask whether you are a sign language user or not, if you are a deaf person, or if not, for those who acquired their hearing loss, then we will say that it could be a small D, which is a medical condition. I also feel perhaps we can reconsider this notion of impairment. For example, calling someone who is hearing impaired risks it being reductive. How about turning the table around and actually say that someone is deaf gain instead of having a hearing loss? And so I think it's all about how we perceive ourselves as individuals, and also how specific groups love or wish to be identified. There's also a recent understanding that the autistic would rather be identified as autistic individuals rather than a person with autism, you know, risk of calling someone with a handbag. So autistic has become quite a strong community in Singapore, also gathering and understanding, advanced understanding from regions and also international contexts.
All right. So, yes, thank you for educating me and others as well. But you're right. Let's check with them first. That's the best way to do it. You talked about your time in the UK, Peter, because you've worked in a similar organization there. It was a disabled artist theatre collective called Project Tandem. I love the name. What makes them tick and what have they achieved that you're looking to replicate, if not already done, for ArtDis?
Actually, this is not an organization in the UK, but it is a personal pilot project, which I started 6 years ago.
You started it. That's amazing.
Yes, I started it 6 years ago, and it was with the intention of training a group of persons with disabilities with artistic potential to select them to perform in an internationally commissioned work for the Unlimited Festival, which is the biggest disability arts festival in the whole of the world. And I was actually the associate director. And through this project, I was able to bring on board several Singaporean disabled trainees, actors to go on a premiere in Singapore before touring to four cities in the UK. Yes. And it is this personal project theatre collective called Project Tandem, prior to me joining ArtDis, that got me started to strengthen myself, to pave the way, to advance this arts ecosystem, to train and nurture quality artists and disabled role models for the scene.
And we're going to talk about how the 30th anniversary performance has certainly got you and your team started for quite a long while already. But first, I want to ask you about, if there are performers, because the production Chichambo is coming up very soon, that's why we played the Dick Lee song earlier, how are performers given aids on stage to help them?
It really depends on which actors are actually working with me at any one point of time. So for those who are visually impaired, they are doing song and dance. Can you imagine that? So they have never really dared to occupy space in the daily life in reality. They're always using their white canes. But on stage, we actually have them not move with their white canes, but move independently. Yeah. So on the floor, we will paste tactile strips for them to actually know where they are going through the sense of touch through their feet. And then we also use a lot of tactile approaches. For example, clock the direction. Oh, you're now facing 1 o'clock, you're facing 12 o'clock, turn to 9 o'clock in the morning. So by the clock direction in their imagination, they're able to move freely and fluidly. We also have in place a lot of sighted assistants who are dressed as characters and coming in and out to make sure that our VI performers are always in position and feeling safe. Now, for those who are deaf or hard of hearing, we have throughout the whole 4 months process sign language interpreters, and they are always interpreting between us as speaking directors and also deaf actors. Then we, to make sure that without hearing sound or music clearly, we make sure that we use lighting cues for the deaf to understand there is a change of music beat or sound beat. Now, for those who are autistic or with Down syndrome, we embedded a creative narrator to serve as vocal checkpoints to shift and narrate and describe from scene to scene what's happening on stage. This also benefits our visually impaired actors to be aware of the shift in set and lighting for safety precautions. All in all, this narrator also benefits our sighted and visually impaired audiences to see and sense and feel even more of the resonance of what's happening on stage.
This is a very tight unit, Peter, and so well coordinated, I'm pretty much sure, because Claire Teo, she's a visually impaired singer, she told me how there are on-stage aides to guide her as she sings and dances, because she's a dancer too. So I wanted to get more information from you. So thanks for telling me. So let's talk about Art Dis celebrating its 30th anniversary this year. Congratulations. There is an important performance coming up, and it's been taking up lots of your time. It's called Chachambo. That's why we played the Dick Lee song earlier. What does it mean? And is it really following the Dick Lee song, or it's something else altogether?
Actually, I believe Dick Lee and myself, we have been inspired by the same song, first sung by Grace Chang, Ge Lan. It is actually a song in the Hong Kong movie Wild Wild Rose in the 1960s. And this song has been covered many, many times. It's originally composed by Ryuichi Hattori, who composed numerous songs for the Hong Kong movies produced by Shaw Brothers. So back then, you know, there was this multicultural music scene in Shanghai, beginning from the 1920s, and there developed a hybrid form of jazz, commonly referred to as Shanghai jazz. And many of these musicians and singers moved to Hong Kong in the 1950s and gave rise to the golden age of Shaw Brothers' Chinese musical movies. And it was during this time that entertainment clubs sprouted all over Singapore, the most famous being the Tropicana and later the Neptune Theatre Restaurant. And patrons back then would go there to eat, listen to the song and the music being performed live, and they would dance together. And the songs performed in these entertainment clubs are not confined to just Chinese songs. Even a Malaysian artist, P. Ramlee, was very popular in this region. Mm-hmm. So yes, Chachambo Taking Flight by Art Dis as our 30th anniversary celebration. Our show is inspired by this golden age of hybrid East-West jazz and a nod to the historical setting of the heyday of entertainment clubs in Singapore.
What's the plot like, Peter? Is there a romance involved?
Wow. You know, it is a tribute to the past and a moving story of forgiveness, because the fate of an entertainment club that employs performers with disabilities is in the air, and it is up to a girl to save it. With the gloried legacy of her mother shadowing her, the livelihoods of the club's performers lay on her shoulders. There's always this forbidden love between this young girl and a dancer, and the audience will witness how a privileged young disabled girl rises to the challenge, is humbled by the process, and overcomes all odds to keep the dreams of disabled artists alive.
Two performers in the group whom you'd like to highlight to me, because I'm pretty sure you have a story or two of people who've excelled as performance artists thanks to Art Dis.
Just from this production, can you imagine we have four recipients from the recent Go Chok Tong Enable Award?
Wow.
Yes, we have, of course, Claire Teo, whom we have spoken to you, a young visually impaired playwright as well, who plays the lead character Ming Zhu. And then together with her, three other people, the recipients of the Go Chok Tong Awards, we have deaf choreographer and dancer Amma Amizi, who plays her boyfriend. And then we have autistic violinist and dancer Luo Man, who plays a younger version of Ming Zhu's mother. And then also a recipient of the award is dancer advocate Jasprit Kaur, who lives with Down syndrome and plays a role called Rose, who actually flirts with one of the very key employee of the club where the story is set in. So yes, there are so many people who are already so experienced and who have really gone through that 10 and 20 years of artistic career, who are upping their game for our production. And when you come to talk about, are there more artists who are outside of this production, which Art Dis is associated with and is proud to actually be part of the journey? Yes, we have two more that I'd like to really speak about. There is Guy Shen, who has muscular dystrophy, a wheelchair user. And since he began writing lyrics at the age of 13 and also engaging the online community through YouTube, he has been supported by artists to realize his dreams of launching his debut EP album titled Will You Love Me? Will spelled W-H-E-E-L. It contains songs in English and Mandarin and is his original compositions about persons with disabilities in love. So he is advocating for equal access to love just as anyone, as a universal idea of being respected for who he is. We are now working towards his second EP album about mental well-being. We are behind him all the way. Another autistic pianist called Joshua German is also the inaugural recipient of the Goh Chok Tong Awards back in 2019. We constantly represent him and enable him and represent him in many, many performances. Just yesterday, he was at Orchard Country Club to celebrate North East CDC's annual fundraising and appreciation dinner. And he performed very strongly. Currently, we are still supporting him in his continuous mentorship. For example, this year for our gala fundraising event, we had him collaborating with celebrity jazz singer Joanna Dong and collaborated with her to present a dual stage of popular blues songs. So it was really all a very exciting journey for many artists with us.
And we can still get those tickets to Chichambo. Just go to your website, which I'll be providing in a while, yeah, Peter?
Yes, we have limited tickets across 3 days of performance. Okay. August 4th, Friday, 1 p.m., August 5th, 7:30, and August 6th, Sunday at 3 p.m. Tickets are selling out very fast. We are so happy. So it's good to actually purchase them also through the bookmyshow.com. Quickly, please.
Okay, quickly, everyone. Peter, thank you so much for being with me on Made in SG. I appreciate your time. Peter Sau is the head of artistic development, performing arts at ArtDis, a non-profit organization here dedicated to creating learning and livelihood opportunities for persons with disabilities in the arts. Ticketing information on their musical Chichambo can be gotten from artdis.org.sg. This has been Made in SG on CNN. 938, I'm Melanie Olivero.
Now, Made in SG with Melanie Olivero.